This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
The Big E, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Poprad this week, with myself, Eric Wiltshire, Lee Banks and Mark Gander. We dive straight into the news even more so. I'm going to love this one. Apparently, a PR firm is being chucked out to do with Duke Nukem, which is that really old game that's come back again. And the reason for it is the people that actually own it found out on Twitter that the PR company had said to the journalists, if you don't give us a good review, we won't let you come again.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes, yes. And I was talking to a well-known games blogging person this very morning, and I said, what do you reckon to Duke Nukem, the new version? He said, it's not that good.
All right.
So I'm probably...
Well, so you're not going to be... Yeah.
I'm banned now as well.
Well, it's happened with, what's his name, that weird football manager person at Manchester United, didn't he, when he wanted to ban a journalist. He banned the journalist on air because he didn't like what the question he'd asked him.
No, that's
people just gone power mad.
That's up to him. It's up to him.
Well, it's up to this firm then as well.
No. Right, the firm is the people that make the game. The appointed PR company, who don't own the game or the company, they made the decision, not the company or the game people.
That's right. I don't understand your point.
Well, because you're talking of Alex Ferguson in Manchester United, who happens to be the manager.
Yeah.
These people who were suggesting or allegedly going to ban people were not the company, were not the owners of the game.
That isn't the point I was making. Just a PR company. That's right, but the point I was making is that people seem to now think that they can control the news by banning journalists who they don't like, who they think haven't written good things about them.
Yeah.
I wasn't particularly pinning it down to Alex Ferguson.
Yeah, I've heard. Actually, no, do you know what? You're right. I had the privilege of meeting about a dozen travel journalists in Aqua City across the road from me once. And one of the girls said to me that she'd been somewhere else on this trip towards, it was like a sort of trip around Central Europe. And one of the guys said, oh, so you'll be staying in my hotel for free then? Well, of course they were. It was a planned tourist board thing. And he said, well, I hope you're going to write nice things, otherwise I'm going to send you an invoice. And I went, do what?
I'm sure he said it as a joke.
No, he was deadly serious, and he got hammered for it. He absolutely got hammered for it.
What happened to me on this same thing? This is another true story.
Another true story.
I got
it's a miracle, Mark.
I used to do a lot of music reviews. Yeah. And because of the music reviews, you get you get free tickets. Wow, what's wrong with that?
There's a contradiction in terms there.
Well, I was a music journalist for 10 years.
But how?
What do you mean how? I used to go down to the concerts and write something about them, and that made me a music journalist.
Yeah, but you've got the musical prowess of an amoeba.
Well, you don't have to be an artist to be an art critic. Look, there you are. There's an example of Lee singing.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
No, why shouldn't he be a music journalist?
Why should I be a music journalist?
Because he doesn't like anything. He doesn't like anything new. He only likes old people that are nearly dead.
I went to see old people who were nearly dead.
Exactly, that's my point.
I'm going to tell you what happened, right?
All right.
I got sent tickets, right, to Daniel O'Donnell. And as a music journalist, you've got to do...
It's a contradiction in terms again. Daniel O'Donnell, music journalist. He doesn't add up.
You know, a couple of weeks before, I'd had tickets for Van Morrison and the Black Eyed Peas and things like that. But when the Daniel O'Donnell concert came up... Also, the thing is, you've got to remember, I was single at this time. I wasn't with a woman.
Right.
And so, all these women were going, oh, this is fantastic, because every week I was taking them to all these posh concerts and everything.
You cheapskate. You cheapskate.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, I bet you didn't do it.
Maybe.
Anyway, so I thought, oh, God, we'll go anyway, because it'll be a laugh. I've never seen Daniel O'Donnell, even though he's so famous. You know, he might actually be quite good. So we went to the Daniel O'Donnell concert. Sat there, and within 10 minutes, I was just so embarrassed at being there, because he was such a load of absolute adroit rubbish. It was unbelievable. And I came out, and I wrote an intro, and it just said, and it got published, it was all said, it just said, Daniel O'Donnell is so middle of the road, he should be run over. And within minutes of that being published, we had death threats from Daniel O'Donnell's Blue Rinse Brigade, saying that I should be sacked instantly, that my mother should be murdered, everything. They went so insane about it. I got death threats from Daniel O'Donnell. Not from himself.
What are they going to do? Hit you with their Zimmer frames?
What are they going to do? Yeah.
Probably.
It was quite intense, though, for weeks. And also, the thing is, I have to admit this one as well, I didn't realise. I had been warned, when I was going to go to the concert, one of the deputy editors says, you do know that the managing editor is actually a very great fan of Daniel O'Donnell, don't you? And I said, no. He says, well, don't write anything bad about him, because he really likes him. Oh. And that was the intro. Okay, he should be run over. And I thought, it was the same thing. Yeah. But really, he shouldn't be controlling what my content is on a review of a concert. Anyway, yeah. I got sacked.
Funny that, isn't it? Rioting Canadians have exposed people online. Should they or shouldn't they? Concerned Canadians have turned to social media to name and shame people behind the riots in Vancouver. Apparently they've set up a big Facebook group, and also on Tumblr they've put pictures of people up so that the police can actually identify them, where they were flipping cars over, and this whole thing. This is now Facebook surely working in favour of the police.
Well, the two things that shocked me about this, or really surprised me about this, and the first thing is that Canadians, I didn't know Canadians did this kind of thing, I didn't know Canadians did rioting, and the second thing is hockey. I thought that these were about the two most sort of peaceful sort of words of Canadians and hockey in the world, so I'm very, very surprised.
Have you ever been to an ice hockey game?
I haven't, but maybe I'm frightened to do it now.
Well, let me just say, they don't walk up to each other with the sticks and go, hello, how are you? Can I help you across the ice? They go in there and go, badoink! And bash!
It's a rough game. It's a rough game.
And then when the gloves go on the ice, it's not because their hands are warm, it's because they're about to lop somebody, doof, in the face.
Well, I'm amazed.
Exactly, yeah. And also, remember, Canadians are the people who dance on tree logs in rivers.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, and they're lumberjacks.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. Sleep all day.
Honestly, yeah, it's just amazing. But I think what's wrong with this, actually, and I'm very ambivalent about this, I don't think that really pictures like this that could lead to prosecution should be used on something like Facebook, because very simply, like we talk about all the time, you could be libeling somebody in there. Somebody's just caught somebody by accident.
You could, although it has to be said, Lee, from your remarks earlier on, then they shouldn't do the same thing by identifying potential hooligans in newspapers, because as we now know, your photographic people could make a stitch-up shot and that's it.
I never said I had principles. Anyway, right? It's very simply, though, the fact is the police have started in the UK, and in Birmingham in particular, they've started projecting the faces of wanted criminals down the side wall of the police HQ at the centre of Birmingham.
Well, yeah, thanks. Hence,
amazing.
I think that's terrible. I think that's terrible as well.
Well, I don't suppose. Well, Mark won't have done, but I'm not sure if you have or not, Lee. Where every night we have the criminal news on commercial television here.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, and again, it's that's the equivalent to Watchdog and things like that, isn't it? Really.
Well, the police program that they do on the BBC, whatever it's called, I can't remember the name of it. But every night, you know, it's. Crime Watch, yeah. If it is that, you know, someone's run off or not reported an accident properly, they will put their photograph up. And if someone's not paid a fine, they will put their their picture with their copy of their ID card on the television to expose them.
Yeah, but if in fact they are, have been proved to commit the crime and they're just evading the punishment, and I can understand that and I accept that because that's just the same as putting the picture in the paper. What I mean is that on Facebook and also on the side of police stations, that's my new phone. I hate that phone. I hate that phone. Listen to it.
Oh, my God.
That's pathetic, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
You can blame the phone for that, can you? I mean, really.
Yeah, but I mean, how much money did you pay for the phone? Let's be honest.
I paid 30 quid.
Oh, yeah, right. Anyway, moving along. Staying within the same kind of context of Facebook, a juror has been sentenced to 8 months for contempt of court by using Facebook to communicate with some people in a case which caused a £6 million drugs trial to collapse. Right or wrong, gentlemen?
What? So she got done for it?
Mm.
Can you see what the problem I have with this phone? It won't stop doing anything now. Right.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. I think she was completely out of order, and how extraordinary that she didn't even realise somebody beating somebody else.
Yeah, I think you're right. Hello, Lee. Sit still.
I'm killing my phone.
Well, just sit still while you're doing it.
That's it! He's dead!
Solicitor General Edward Garnier said it was important that the integrity of the jury system was maintained and preserved. Yeah. What gave her the stupid idea to message somebody who's in a court case on Facebook?
It was just an amazing thing. And I mean,
I'll tell you exactly why. I've just read the story.
Yeah.
The defendant comes from Blakely, which actually is just about 2 miles.
Yeah, so, but there again, she was messaging the guy and using expressions such as lol and other internet slang, allegedly, and her QC, Peter Wright, said his client was terrified at the prospect of prison and was distraught and inconsolate about what she'd done. But surely to goodness, she would have known what she was doing.
Of course she would.
You know, it's nuts.
She deserves everything she got.
I'm afraid that she did, yes. Absolutely right.
As well.
The only amazing thing to me, really, is that the other lady only got 2 months suspended. Although, I mean, she wasn't under a juror's oath, but still it was highly irresponsible.
It does make you wonder, doesn't it?
Also, it makes you ask one question, or makes me ask one question, though, because this problem that we do have with the internet, right? All the rules are off. You know, you do look at
people. What has this got to do with the rules of the internet?
Because it's dead simple that this woman, who, as she's from Bolton, may not be of the most well-educated class.
Oh, ouch! All complaints from Bolton listeners go to Lee G. Banks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next. What?
Right. So she's not very clever. Right. And then...
I can't say it's got anything to do with Bolton, but no, if people in Bolton want to contact me, the publishers...
Yeah. You know what's called? It's set in a car in Bolton. They call it Merlin Podging.
Lee Banks' private address and phone number will be on the RTI website later on today.
Even the number of his dead phone.
Yes.
my second ex-wife was from Bolton.
Well, that's got nothing to do with it. I mean, so. But the point is, it's not the internet. She could have easily have got, from a standard 192 phone call, a phone number of...
on the spot here.
...of people. It's so easy to do. It's nothing to do with... In fact, it's probably harder to message somebody on Facebook than go through directory inquiries and get the phone number of a person.
Yes, but it's what I'm saying is that this woman, perhaps I'm trying to excuse her, I'm trying to help her out here.
Why?
Right. But she probably didn't realise
she's very grateful
that doing this thing on Facebook was the same as phoning them up, because Facebook gives this false sense of security. It's like its own different world. And maybe she just made a mistake. But to have actually challenged the law and brought down a massive trial She should have been sent down forever. A cell had been far nicer than a house in Bolton anyway.
But I've come in there in support of you. I think Lee's made a very important point there, and that is that people really do have a different view of communicating over the internet, and it really is quite extraordinary. And we find that, for instance, on the Consumer Action Group forum, that people deal with each other in really quite a robust way, quite a nasty way, actually. Yeah. And I think that if they met people and looked them eye to eye, they'd be quite ashamed. And so I think there may be something of that in it. But, you know, this is something that's going to keep on happening, and I think the judge needed to take this action, and that wasn't surprising.
No, not at all. And it should be pointed out for anybody that is listening to, do please look at your local laws on the internet. Again, this week Google's in hot water because a hotel in Ireland is taking them to court, it's all down to it's not like it appears to be. You know, when you write on an American based website, it's not the laws of America if you're in England that count. Is actually the laws of England that count, as a police officer found out last year when they had to give up his details and he was hauled over the coals for being nasty about his superiors. It's what we call the editorial point that counts. Mm. And so do be careful. If you're writing nasty things on the web, you are very likely up for getting somebody. There was a very famous case called the Norwich ruling in the UK, and equally there's been other rulings in places like Italy in the last 12 months, where what goes on the net is not necessarily ho ho ho, it's on the net, I can walk away now. You know, it's a different set of rules now. Good story coming up now. Apparently this wonderful, absolutely wonderful guy who's been blind in one eye for 55 years. Can you imagine that? By some really clever doctors in New York, the New York Eye and Ear Infirmary, have saved this guy's sight. And apparently it was something to do with the fact that he had some low sight, but his retina was detached when he was a boy, and they've managed to reconnect it, and it's working again. I mean, how good
is
that?
That's amazing. Yeah. That's brilliant. That is incredible.
I mean, have I got this right? Because I always thought if the retina was detached, that was it. Curtains.
Well, I think it is a bit like a curtain, isn't it?
How droll.
It's quite seriously. I Eric will know this, Mark. You probably won't. But quite genuinely, I am blind in one eye, and I've been since, for the last 30-odd years. Yeah. And they've always said there's nothing I can do about it. It was an injury that I think detached the retina.
Right. Is interesting. A retinal detachment?
I think so. I don't know, actually, because it's that long ago. I don't even thought about it until this. Yeah. But I might go and see if this can be done now. Because, actually, you know, when you start to get into your 40s, like I am, you know, you start to have a bit of a problem with your eyesight.
Lee, when you're going to the doctors and suggesting that they should re-look at your eye, and they sort of look at you with this look that says, just tell me the truth about it, don't tell them you're 40-ish.
I went to Jodrell Bank yesterday.
Yeah.
Right. And I walked in and I said, because I went into the restaurant and I said, can I have a full English breakfast, please? And they said, I'm sorry, sir, it's after 11:30. We don't do a full English breakfast, but we can make you a breakfast sandwich, which contains the same amount. So that's fine then. And it was £2 cheaper. And I said, just put it on the plate and toast the bread for me. That's fine. And that's how I got my breakfast, £2 cheaper than anybody else, and just as full.
I'm looking confused. Yeah. I've got this confused.
I have no idea why I told you that then.
No, I have no idea what they're saying. No, okay.
It's a great story.
It is a good story.
I just wanted to see if you would take that as an allegory for blindness in one eye.
No.
Right, and I won't tell that story in those circumstances again then.
Right, we've got Lee's blood boiling. Now it's time to get Mark's blood boiling. The HSBC Bank has given extra time to deal with PPI complaints. Just briefly, Mark, PPI?
Well, PPI, private protection and personal protection insurance. The idea is that you had a loan, you get a loan, and also they would sell you insurance. But of course, they were selling insurance to all sorts of people, even though the people were uninsurable. So they were insuring you against losing your job, even though you're already unemployed or you were self-employed and so forth. And it now turns out that the banks now are being obliged by the courts to pay the money back. And oh dear, they've ripped off so many people. they can't pay them all back in time. They normally have to pay them back within 8 weeks, but they've asked for more time.
$269 million. I've just read it.
It doesn't occur to them simply to invest more money in the problem to pay off people more quickly.
Yeah, but that's not
that would cost them money.
Let's just clarify this. $269 million is just HSBC. Yeah. If we take Barclays and other people into the equation as well, it's billions.
It's billions. I mean, it is massive. It is massive. And let me say that they're still going to come out of it doing very, very nicely, thank you very much indeed, because they're being required to repay the money plus 8%, which is statutory interest in the United Kingdom. Yeah. But, of course, while they've had your money, which they've basically taken from you dishonestly, they've invested that and they've lent it out at huge rates at 18, 19, 20, 25%. You know, how much has it ever cost you to borrow money? That's what they've been lending it out at. So they repay your money, having had it for years. They give you 8%.
And still made a profit.
And they've still made a profit. So where's the disincentive to do it again?
Honestly,
there isn't any.
Unbelievable. Let's get on to some silly stories as we get towards the end of the programme. Poor old Hugh Hefner, bless him.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Actually, Mark, you just give me an idea. I'm going back to that story. Hold on.
I want to go back to that story as well, then.
Well, I was going to say, Mark, could you not put a request out on the Consumer Action Group for someone who's got this problem? And suggest to them that on their behalf, if they give you permission, you'd like to go back to the FSA and question where the interest money's going.
Well, we've been raising that, let me say. Unfortunately, the FSA is another one of these regulatory authorities which can't be approached directly by the general public. So, you know, this is one of the problems of the regulatory system. The consumer actually doesn't have a voice. It's somebody who acts on their behalf when they want to. We, on the Consumer Action Group, we basically try to urge people to go directly to the courts. Don't go through the normal sort of reclaim channel. Go to the court, because if you go to the court and make a case for getting all of the interest to get full restitution of your loss, the courts, there's a very, very good basis for awarding it, and the courts should award it. But the trouble is that they're basically being dissuaded from that, and people like the Ombudsman and the FSA are simply saying, no, the bank will get it right in the end.
There's one problem with that, though, Mark.
Yes.
The lawyers are going to get rich.
No, you do it yourself.
No. Think of all the lawyers' practices that will be sitting at home going, oh, yeah, good idea, Mark. We'll go and represent lawyers and charge them £1,000 an hour.
Well, that's right. Maybe this is why the lawyers really do like us after all. I mean, I've been very surprised in the past that lawyers haven't sued us to bit for libel for some reason or other. And I think, actually, they want us to keep on going because, at the end of the day, we get their clients to pay them more money.
Anyway, very quickly, Hugh Hefner's recent playmate fiance has dumped him.
I wanted to go back to that story.
Well, we're going to run out of time, and I promise myself I'm going to get through all these stories.
Go on, then.
85-year-old Hugh Hefner has been married twice before, one in 1949, one in 19... Yes. He's not a kamikaze Irishman, is he?
No, he got it... Nothing. Carry on. That was a fully formed joke that I had to stop coming out.
we'd be off the air very quickly. Yes. And apparently, Miss Harris has written on her website, after much deep reflection and thought, I have decided to end my engagement with Hef. Yeah. She put it on Twitter as well.
Did she give the ring back?
No comments, because it's going to be a rude joke, I can feel it. Yes.
Well, anyway, listen, we're missing the whole point of this. This is what I mean about the press. This is where you've got to do it properly. You need a proper journalist. The story is that Crystal Harris had actually been paid a large amount of money by an American publication to actually dump Mr. Hefner at the altar.
Oh, really?
So you're telling me that for once in its life, a despicable journalist got dumped?
He's not a journalist.
No, well, she didn't go to the altar with him, did she?
No, that's it. I think she just broke it to him gently. She probably got a little bit less, but still got the money, I think.
Good old paycheck.
Well, I feel sorry for Hugh. I mean, this poor, frail old man. And, I mean, you know, in his dotage there we are, and he thought he had this lady to comfort him, look after him for the rest of his life. And now he's going to have to live on his own.
I know, but they're still like at it like bunnies around him, aren't they?
Oh, very droll, yes. Quick bit of news for everybody that likes the space flight, as I do. It's the final mission of the Atlantis shuttle coming up in 12 days' time. Currently, you can watch it all on NASA's website. Atlantis will carry a crew of four, Commander Chris Ferguson, Pilot Doug Hurley, blimey, there's film stars everywhere, and Mission Specialist Sandy Magnus and Rex Wallum.
Do you think Doug Hurley's Liz Hurley in drag?
Possibly. The target date for the last ever shuttle mission is on the 8th of July. I wonder how the Americans are going to react to that.
I don't know.
Well, I imagine they'll be out on the streets about it. I imagine it's a great, great media opportunity.
I think it is as well.
Did you read about that Chinese one?
Go on.
It's like the one who felt troublesick.
True. It's down. It's on the list. It's on the list at the end here. I'm just looking.
No,
for
that's
it.
Right. Well, we're gonna crank on. Some good news this week about Gaddafi, because Mr. Cameron has said that the Libyan leader, I can't call him Colonel Gaddafi. It just doesn't make sense to me. He's not a real one. Will not be attending the London.
Not a real leader, is he?
No, exactly.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He will not be attending the London 2012 Olympics. The tickets that were due to be allocated to Libya's National Olympic Committee are not going to be issued straight away. And the IOC, which is the International Olympic Committee, has said until the current situation becomes clearer, they ain't going to do anything. And I think that's a good thing.
Well, they should give them to the rebels.
I just interrupt here. This is the story, right? Japanese astronaut has revealed it on Twitter that this is what he said on Twitter, right? Space motion sickness got me. Especially when I move my head suddenly, I feel really sick.
Right.
And he's stuck up there for 18 months and he's got space sickness.
Yeah, and he's only got 5 sick bags.
Oh dear.
Financial
Policy Committee. It's another quango in the UK at the Bank of England has held its first quarterly meeting on Thursday.
Yeah.
Just a quick one, Mark. E-good or rubbish?
Well, I mean, we hope it's going to be good. I mean, they're making all the right noises. And, of course, they've had a bloody good slap in the face, haven't they, from the past 2 or 3 years and trying to pick up this terrible legacy that is really the failure of the existing regulatory authority. The one that I'm really interested in is the other part, which is the Financial Conduct Association, which is the one that's meant to be looking directly after consumer interests and hopefully is going to start to have some real teeth. But it's a question of, do they have the will, and are the banks really still big enough to basically really not care about them very much? We'll have to see.
Indeed. And in other news, the Northern Rock Bank, which was bailed out and bought by the British government, the last one, is being sold off by this government, apparently to a single buyer. Will it be Richard Branson, I wonder?
I don't know, but the thing is, do you realise that we've actually sold it at a loss?
Probably.
Have we really? I was going to ask.
Yeah, it's about a million. I can't remember now. I think it's £1 billion loss.
No.
Yeah, I've got €5 on Richard Branson buying it.
Could be.
Yeah, and finally, and genuinely is finally, a 4-watt light bulb installed in a fire station in Livermore, California, has been declared the oldest known working light bulb by the Guinness Book of World Records. The bulb was a gift from a businessman in 1901, and with the exception of a brief period in 1903 and a week in 1937 with some power outages, the light has remained on. God.
That's incredible, isn't it? And that I rest my case now on everything that I've ever said about technology, new technology. How can new technology compete with that?
I can't really, can they?
What an interesting story.
Thank you very much indeed. At which point, we haven't got time for Bob Dylan being honours being rejected by Haringey Council, nor have we got time to say that he was in the top 10 tracks with some stupid that I can't even remember on Desert Island Disc. That was Postcard from Pop Rad, boys and girls. Say goodbye, gentlemen.
I think I'm just up for a light snack. Bye-bye.
From the heart of the earth to the world. RTI.